Welcome to Cosmic Inspiration Radio, where we connect to the wisdom of the universe on Amazing Women of Power Radio. I'm Dr. Kelly Hunter, glad to be with you today, offering insights and practical guidance found in cosmic cycles and world mythologies that tell the eternal stories of our shared quest for meaning. How is your life story part of the larger story of this new millennium? We live in extraordinary times, a time to open our minds to new ways of thinking and being. My wish is to inspire you, to expand your horizons and explore new possibilities. When you change your story, you change your life. Welcome to today's show. Today I want to talk about one of the most ancient and powerful images of the divine feminine to inspire we women of power and to empower us in our growth and fulfillment of what we are capable of. It's often these darker images that hold that power and are often reviled, misunderstood, or, you know, put down and demonized even in various teachings and religions. But why? Why are these dark, powerful images so fearful? Because they contain a great deal of power and vitalization that is not safe and comfortable. Here, as we are empowering ourselves as women and men of consciousness in our 21st century renaissance meaning rebirth, yes, there is a renewed interest in the empowerment of women and images that come through history and through different mythologies and from examples in history and in the people we know that can give us good examples of the potential that we carry as women differently than men carry that power. And we are most fulfilled when we engage both the masculine capacity for direction and goal orientation and a powerful surge of energy in a direction, and the feminine, which is more circular, relational, and can carry a deep well of creativity that is evoked, you know, whatever is needed comes forth. This is part of the power of the feminine. And as we are in this time of renewal, there are so many faces of the divine feminine that are arising in our awareness. Mythology is my background, and I have looked very deep and far into these powerful images, and that's been one of my particular interests, is these darker face, the Black Madonna, the Black Tara in Buddhism, that have a deep transformative power that can be a little scary. And this is something we need to confront and find within ourselves, this revitalizing capacity. We talked a bit about this in two shows having to do with Medusa and how looking into the eye of Medusa is very deeply engaging and gives us great insights into ourselves, and the act of cutting off her head, which was the heroic quest of Perseus, releases a great imagination beyond the heady intellectual rationalizations that so often catch us up and limit our capacity. In this research into older myths, I came across or I should say, she found me, Lilith, one of the most alluring and ancient of the faces of the powerful goddess of transformation. From 5,000 years ago, found on the clay tablets dug up from the sands of Iraq, from the culture of Sumeria, Lilith came forth into the first literature that we have. And after 5,000 years of smoky rumors about this powerful feminine image of ambiguous reputation, she remains a mystery, and a very alluring mystery. If you Google Lilith, you're going to find just thousands of websites, everything from mythology and academic research to vampire stories and goth images and the world of fairy and also some, you know, sites of sex toys and also much music. Lilith Fair was a music fest created by Sarah McLachlan some years ago, featuring all women musicians. And it was said, oh, that will never make it. You'll fail. Who wants to come and just hear women singing, women musicians? Well, this festival became so successful, it went on for years. Lilith Fair. And Sarah McLachlan took that name of Lilith, as many women artists have over the ages, to represent the autonomy of and sovereignty of woman on her own, in her own center, in her own way, in her own authenticity. That's a word we're hearing a lot these days, authenticity. And indeed, when we find that clear space in ourselves and we come, express ourselves from that place in ourselves, we are truly being authentic, truly being in our integrity, rather than what we so often do as women, accommodating another person or taking care of other people at the sacrifice of ourselves sometimes. Isn't that so? And we don't always all want to hurt anyone either. And we have that nurturing, caring self that is so deep a part of the woman's heart. And yet this loving is also centered in a deep, deep spiritual place in ourselves. And this is what I think that Lilith really represents, beyond all of the dark imagery and demonic imagery that comes with some of her stories, because she is so challenging, an ego buster. Who am I coming at you like your shadow, like a bird at flight in the dark of the night? I live in the tree of life. And yes, Lilith was in the original tree, the story beyond or before the Garden of Eden. There was a garden in the Sumerian myth where Lilith first appears. And in that garden, Inanna, the young, beautiful goddess, planted a tree that she had found rushing down a river. She pulled that tree, that sapling, out of the water and planted it in her garden. And she saw that as the tree grew, she would use the wood to make her throne of power and her bed of marriage. But before that could happen, creatures appeared in the tree. A serpent wound itself in the roots of the tree, and a wild bird made its nest in the branches of the tree, and in the trunk of the tree, the dark maid, Lilith, made her home. So there she was in the original Garden of Eden, and the young goddess, so this is the woman aspect, looking toward her fulfillment and seeing that there are these creatures taking over her tree. And what do they mean? And what are they about? And they're about the deeper mysteries. Now we can see some of the imagery here, the serpent coming into the tree in the Garden of Eden and saying, hey Eve, try this apple. And this was a story that carried over from the earlier Sumerian mythology into the kind of mythic mix of the Hebrew culture and also the stories that came alive in the Bible. Now, there was, in Genesis, two descriptions of how man was created. First, it says God created man, male and female, he created them. And then, a little bit later in Genesis, it said that God created Eve out of Adam's rib. So that was a bit of a confusion there that rabbis in centuries ago contended with and thought, well, there must be an answer here. And they realized, that Adam must have had a first wife, Lilith. A name probably taken from some Sumerian storm demons. And yes, Lilith has a kind of untamed quality that is part of her wildness. And this wildness is, you know, wild women never get the blues, right? Yes, this wildness is part of our creative capacity, our amazing ability to deal with life and to give life, bring life forth. So this wildness, this untamed mystery cannot be grasped or contained or limited and put in a box. And when Adam said to Lilith, you know, I'm in charge here, and she said, no, I don't think so. We're made equal. And he said, no, I'm made of clean dust and you're made of dirty dust. Well, she's not going to stand for that. So off she goes, uttering the ineffable name of God, which only she knew. Ah, she had a secret line into the divine. And she went off. And Adam complained, oh no, you know, where'd she go? You know, where's my girlfriend? So God made Eve out of Adam's rib, but that means she was made from a part of himself. Kind of like a crutch, I think of it as. Yes, and that was a new type of relationship, a new aspect of womanhood, and that was more accommodating to Adam. Now Lilith came back into the tree as a woman-headed serpent. Many artists depicted this image on the portals of Notre Dame Cathedral, on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. This was a very popular image a few centuries back to illustrate that it was a feminine wisdom. Can we say wisdom? With that deep serpentine energy. Now, snakes are reviled in Western culture more than they are in Eastern. In Eastern culture, typically, snakes and serpents represent wisdom, a chthonic earthy wisdom, and the wisdom to be able to shed the skin and renew itself. So there's a power there. And this Lilith serpent in the tree was offering Eve the apple or the fruit of knowledge. saying, hey, sweetheart, there's some things you need to know. Try this. So what were the implications of that gift and Eve's acceptance of that gift and then Adam's tasting of that apple? What is this knowledge that we have now that cast us out of the garden? This is certainly one of the mysteries, and we can look at it from so many different ways. How we view that, how we perceive that, how we interpret that story, you know, oh, the serpent, you know, and crush it, or, you know, Eve was the bad girl, and they got cast out of the garden. You know, what? How do we understand that? And that has become a really interesting story that the interpretation of which really makes a difference to how we perceive man and woman. How can we interpret that story? Giving Eve some credit that she actually was interested in this deeper wisdom to find herself beyond being Adam's rib. Is that a radical interpretation? Pretty much. But it's good to have a different perspective on things, especially when that story is so often used to put women down. For indeed, our knowledge and perhaps our curiosity that looks beyond the superficial, because we have this deep womb space inside ourselves, we contain the mystery. We contain the capacity for birthing, which is very powerful. There was an interesting story about the garden given by George Bernard Shaw in a play called Back to Methuselah. In this play, he has a scene in which the serpent in Eden is speaking to Eve in a strange, seductively musical whisper of Lilith, the mother of Adam and Eve. It was Lilith, reveals the serpent, who first embodied the feminine power of conception and rebirth. She was alone in the garden. When she first saw a creature die, she realized that in order to survive, she must find out how to renew herself. She saw the serpent cast its skin and renew itself. Lilith had a mighty will. She strove and willed for more moons than there are leaves on all the trees of the garden. And she reproduced herself into two, Eve and Adam. It was too much for one to bear, she said. And Eve is amazed, like, wow, how did she do that? And the serpent tells Eve the secret of Lilith. You imagine what you desire. You will what you imagine. And at last, you create what you will. In one word, to conceive. It's this power to create something out of nothing through desire, will, and her capacity to love that is the creative nature of Lilith. And that Lilith side in women and men who appreciate and love Lilith. This vitality is a life force that manifests out of the unmanifest. This power of conception belongs to the feminine alone, says the serpent in the story. Man must give his desire and his will to the woman to share in that power of conception. Powerful stuff. And a different way of thinking of the relationship of man and woman, both bringing to the sacred heart of love their best that they have to offer and what is truly theirs, to offer and honor in mutual respect. In Buddhism also, they have that same kind of relationship. It is the insightful wisdom of the feminine that informs the skillful means of the male principle. So the deep wisdom of the feminine with the skillfulness of action of the male that is truly at the heart of the male-female relationship. I dared everything, confides the serpent. It was by meditating on life that I gained the power to do miracles. Yes, miracles abound these days. And as we women are seeking a fuller enrichment in our lives and feeling this rise of empowerment, Lilith is a very helpful ally. And yet, she is challenging because she really scrutinizes the motivation. What is the motivation deep inside that is activating your pursual of any goals? Or, the feminine cannot be totally self-serving. And this is another aspect arising in the new feminine consciousness. And so many of us are feeling that we want to be of service. And this is that heart of love. This giving of what we have to give because we feel the need. And it's that need, like in this story, that Lilith realized that there was a need for her to find out how to renew herself. And so here we are, feeling this need for empowerment so that we can give what we have to give. This is a deep aspect of our feminine nature that is infused with a deep spirituality. There's another really beautiful story. I think it's a Lilith story. It's a story told by Robert Sardello, a psychologist, about Sophia, the goddess of wisdom. And she is always longing and moving to be reunited with the God, with the divine power. And she follows the light. And one time as she was following the light, she got distracted by an equally bright light, and found herself inside the earth. Ah! And this longing and yearning to reunite with the spirit, with God, with the great being was then influenced by all of the life forms. So she's inside the earth, and that deep desire moves through the earth, up through every creature on the earth that is also infused with this desire to return to spirit, to return to Lord, to return to its source, the origin, the light. And how interesting that it was an equally bright light inside the earth. And this longing and yearning and love infuses every creature on the earth as we seek to return to the original essence, the spaciousness that is the truth of who we are. The light is the truth of who we are, and we long to return to that light, to embody and express that light in this life, on this earth, that sometimes feels like such a veil of sorrow. So much chaos in the world, so much fear. How can we transform that fear into love with the true heart of spaciousness, non-judgment? Now, this myth of Lilith is from the ancient Middle East, and that is such a troubled spot right now. Is that Lilith stirring things up so that we can heal what is unhealed in our history? Perhaps we can see it like that. Perhaps we can confront our fear and know that love is behind it in some way that's inscrutable and that we don't understand with our rational minds, but our hearts are awakened in front of this, and we feel this empowerment and desire to be of service, to conceive what is not yet born. And here we are, the power of women, to create, to conceive, to give birth to what is needed. I love these myths that carry and convey that power to inspire and stir us up to give what we have to give at every moment in our lives. And I wish that feeling for you. And I would love to talk with you about your relationship to Lilith, to help you find that Lilith inside yourself and what qualities she offers for you. Thank you for spending time with me today. I welcome your feedback and any special requests for topics of interest to you. You can email me at kellhunter, K-E-L-L Hunter, at earthlink.net or call 802-456-1078. I'm on Facebook as Kelly Hunter Astromythology. And on my website, you'll find lots of interesting art and articles. The website is www.heliastar.com, H-E-L-I-A-star.com, with archives of all the previous shows, plus information on my books, online classes, and personal consultation and coaching services using your personal cosmic blueprint. Please sign up for my free cosmic news email list for articles on new and full moons, discussing current planetary patterns and what they mean to our lives. We'll continue next time to explore topics relevant to living in harmony with cosmic inspiration on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. U.S. Central Time on Amazing Women of Power Radio, powered by Raven International. Music by James Anderson at jamesandersonmusic.com. Remember that you are being guided. Listen to your heart and trust yourself. Shine with the light of your special stars.